Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, December 6, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had a great week. Gonna run through a list of topics for today's episode and we'll jump right into it. Very eventful week, especially in the world of Impact Wrestling, as we'll get to in this show with Impact Wrestling and AEW, all the crossover possibilities. So we're gonna definitely get into all that. We have Impact results today. We have results for 205 Live, NXT UK, MLW Fusion, ROH, we got UWN Primetime Live, and we also have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled $1,000 Shot. So all those topics. And normally this is the time of the show, right at the beginning, where I talk about my recommended show to watch on independentwrestling.tv. And this week, I've actually decided to veer from that and talk about a free show that's available on YouTube. Now, the company is called Game Changer Wrestling. A lot of you are going to be familiar with them already, GCW, one of the largest independent wrestling companies in the world. They run a lot of their shows on IWTV, so there's a lot of their content there as well. So definitely still check out independentwrestling.tv and check out all the GCW stuff there. But for free right now, on their YouTube channel, Slime Season is available. GCW Slime Season. This show is awesome. It was last night. It was totally for free, and it's still available for free right now. Check it out. These are the matches to expect. We had Chris Bay versus Jordan Oliver, Facade versus Sefa Fatu, Matthew Justice versus Jacob Fatu, Jimmy Lloyd versus Eli Everett versus KTB versus Matt Vandegraaff versus Damian Drake versus Nate Webb. We had Mance Warner taking on Atticus Koger, Kikataru taking on Alley Cat, Juicy Finot taking on Ricky Shane Page, and Blake Christian taking on Leo Rush. That is a stacked card, and it was once again 100% completely for free. It's available right now. I would highly recommend checking the show out. I mean, amazing stuff. So many names here that we talk about on a regular basis here on the Weekender. Chris Bay, who I'll talk about shortly with the Impact Wrestling results. Big part of Impact Wrestling. One of my favorite wrestlers in the world right now. A guy that I think could be a top performer in any company that he's in. Facade's a guy that gets really slept on, I think. I've met him in the Nashville Fairgrounds before. Really cool guy. Does a lot of crazy stuff. He's kind of similar to like a young Jeff Hardy, kind of Rob Van Dam. He reminds me a lot of like Christian York, if y'all remember him from ECW, for longtime fans out there. So really, really cool. And he's getting better and better. He's done some stuff in Japan over the last couple years. I'm a really big fan of what he's doing and seeing him popping up on GCW is awesome. Matthew Justice and Jacob Fatu is just an incredible match. These two guys could be top performers in any company that they're in. Jacob Fatu is the current champion with MLW, and Matthew Justice was just the AIW heavyweight champion, recently lost the belt to Joshua Bishop over the collective weekend. But two of the absolute top guys in the indies, incredible match, just incredible talent there. We had Mance Warner, who I talk about all the time. I think he's, I don't mean this as a negative towards anybody else, but if I had to pick one person right now on the indies who I think you could plug in to to NXT, to AEW, to even Raw or SmackDown, or anywhere else, Impact Wrestling, wherever, I think Mance Warner is an immediate main event guy anywhere. I mean, he is the most ready, in my opinion, of anyone in the indies to take that role anywhere he goes. Great character, great in the ring, just all-around performer that anyone would want. And he took on Atticus Koger in this show, who's somebody that's very, very good and has a lot of potential. Most of the stuff I've seen him in has been very deathmatch-oriented, but he can work all types of styles. There's just certain things where he's very polarizing, we'll just put it that way. Certain people really love the type of deathmatch stuff he does. Certain people are going to be turned off by it. But he's a great character. I love his role in 440, the stable run by GCW champion RSP, who of course was on the show as well. And I've talked to my friend John Mosley, who I do my MMA show with on my Fight Talk podcast feed every Monday. He's very in the independent wrestling world. He does commentary, ring announcing, basically manages Bret Eisen, does a lot of really cool stuff and really making a name for himself in independent wrestling right now. So once again, shout out to John Mosley, but he came up with the idea to me saying, man, wouldn't it be great if, you know, Atticus was the one to beat RSP for that title eventually. And once you planted that seed in my head, like that's all I can think about. I think that Atticus Coger, I think he's a great heel, like really good at being a slimy heel, but I think he's going to be an even better face. I really do. Once he turns into a good guy, and if he is the one to take down RSP, I think that would be a great story and a great match and a great feud and everything. So I have really high hopes for Atticus Coger. So much potential still, and already so good. Like he's already great, but just hasn't even hit his prime yet. Allie Cat was on this show, one of my favorite female performers in the entire world. It's actually kind of surprising that to me that she hasn't been featured even on like Impact, but I feel like that's going to change soon. I feel like we're going to have to be seeing Allie Cat at Impact or AEW or NXT or something really soon. She's just, her talent's undeniable, and she's been doing it so for so long at such a high level at this point that, you know, she's a can't miss, I think. I love Juicy. By the way, Juicy took on RSP. He provides something different. Very big guy, but does a lot of cool things. And Ricky Shane Page, I mean, just great at what he does as well. He was a guy that took a little time for me to warm up to. First few times I saw him, wasn't super impressed. But once I really started, once it started clicking for me, similar to Kevin Steen in a lot of ways, now known as Kevin Owens, of course, in the WWE, I think that RSP just took a second for him to grow on me. And once I kind of got what he was doing, I really, really think he's really good. And he's a great GCW champion. He's the right guy to hold that title right now. You know, I love Moses' idea of Atticus Coger beating RSP, but as he'll say, and I'll agree, it's most likely that I feel like Nick Gage is probably the guy who will eventually beat him for that belt, but there's still so much you can do with RSP and just great performer. And then the main event of the show, Blake Christian and Lio Rush, just amazing stuff. One of the best matches of the entire year. Great storytelling. I mean, I don't want to ruin anything. As you noticed, I haven't said anything about, you know, particular elements of any of these matches because I want you to watch it live. I don't want to spoil anything. And this match was just absolutely incredible. Two of the absolute best in-ring workers in the entire world, Blake Christian and Lio Rush. So check out this whole show. Once again, this was Game Changer Wrestling's Slime Season. It's available right now on YouTube. Moving on, we have Impact Wrestling. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to kind of quickly go through the results of the latest show, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this AEW stuff, because I think that's mostly what people want to hear about. So, as far as the show went, started off with Motor City Machine Guns defeating Team Triple XL. Good match. It's great to see Motor City Machine Guns back, and Alex Shelley back in action and uninjured, and I'll talk a little bit about their Machine Guns here in just a second once we get to more of the AEW stuff. We have a lot of this, you know, Johnny Bravo confronting people and talking to Tommy Dreamer, and we have Larry and all that kind of stuff. There's, you know, police, and basically there's still, it's the whole Johnny Bravo murder mystery story. I'm not going to really extensively cover that on the show. I've talked about that week after week. If y'all want to keep up with that story, by all means, Impact Wrestling, no problem. There's not a whole lot I can do to, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't really paint the picture of really what's going on in this story through words. Like, you really have to see this story playing out on TV for it to make any sense whatsoever. So I'm going to leave it at that. I am glad to see that, I mean, the story is not for me, I'll put it that way, but it has created buzz for the company. So, like, I'm not really mad about it, if that makes sense. After that, we had the opening round match of the tag team, the Knockout Tag Team Championship Tournament. Started off with Jordynne Grace and Jazz defeating Renee Michelle and Killer Kelly. The finish came when Renee gets a blind tag and misses a blind tag and gets hit with a sit-out facebuster for the 1-2-3. I love seeing Jordynne Grace and Jazz as a tag team. Really, really cool. The two are a perfect fit for each other, and I'll talk more about some of them here in just a second. We had Johnny Swinger versus Cody Deaner. Basically, Cody Deaner wins really, really quick, and, well, by disqualification, because Eric Young and Joe Doring come out and just completely destroy things as they have been week after week. Eric Young cuts another really, really good promo. And I'm very interested in this story, but it's been a few weeks now where it's been kind of the same thing of Eric Young and Joe Doring coming out, destroying everybody, Eric Young cutting a good promo. Let's see where this is heading. I'm definitely interested, and I'm by no means against what's going on right now. I think it's intriguing, and I think that I think it's going to lead to something really cool, and it's great character development for Eric Young. I like everything about this story and everything, but I'd like to see kind of more of where it's actually heading now. Next match we had was Rohit Raju retaining the X Division Championship by defeating Crazy Steve. Got the win with a basically a jackknife pin, but he used the ropes to get the win. One, two, three. Makes sense. Crazy Steve beat Rohit Raju last week. I really, really, really didn't like that. So it's good to see Raju get the win here, get that back. He did it in a heelish way, but that's how he's been winning all of his matches. Either he does something like this where he uses the ropes, or it's like a multi-person match where someone else does all the work and he does like the pinfall, or he slides in with his, you know, running knee or something like that. So, you know, this is pretty much par for the course for what Rohit Raju has been doing as champion. But it's all good stuff. I think he's super talented. I like him as the champion. I have nothing against any of this. The only thing I had against it at all was I don't think Crazy Steve should have beat him last week. But Raju gets the win here. All is well with the world, and we'll move on from there. Main event of the show, Willie Mack defeated Chris Bay. Really good match. Two of the best wrestlers in the company. I love their matches that they had for the X Division Championship. I want to say it was around, I think, on Slammiversary of this year, and then the following Impact, I want to say, if I remember correctly. They both had matches. Willie Mack actually lost the X Division title to Chris Bay, and then Chris Bay retained it over Willie Mack in their rematch. So, you know, in this match here, Willie Mack gets the win, which was really nice to see, and the finish was really cool. Pop-up forearm into a stunner for the 1-2-3. I mean, good finish, good match. Two of the absolute best wrestlers in the entire company, in my opinion. And after the match, Moose comes out and attacks Willie Mack. So that whole story is continuing, which is interesting because Moose has really been beating the hell out of Willie Mack. But I ultimately would like to see Willie Mack win the feud. Not necessarily because I dislike what Moose has been doing. I've actually liked what he's been doing a lot more lately than I have up until this point of his career, to be honest. I think I'm more interested in what he's doing now than I ever have been before. But Willie Mack is a guy that I really think should be positioned as a top guy in the company. I'm not going to harp on that too much. Longtime listeners of the show know my thoughts on Willie Mack, know how good I think he is. But the reason that it's so important, oh, by the way, before I move on, I should definitely mention that Rich Swann came out and helped attack Moose. But then Chris Bay wound up hitting the Art of Finesse on Rich Swann, and the show actually ended with Chris Bay holding up the Impact World Championship. Now, a few things about this. Willie Mack just beat Chris Bay, and now Chris Bay is being teased as a potential champion, and I think he has a title match coming up with Rich Swann. There's been a lot of wrestling stuff this week, so I apologize. It's probably been announced, but I believe we're going to be getting Chris Bay versus Rich Swann for the title very soon, and it is a little strange to see him lose to Willie Mack and then be working into a title shot like that. But then again, it is Willie Mack, and the whole Willie Mack and Moose thing is interesting because the TNA title's involved, and then the Impact title's involved with Rich Swann, and I feel like there's a chance we could see like a unification sometime soon of the TNA title and the Impact title. I think that'd make a lot of sense to unify those at some point in the near future, especially because of all this AEW stuff, which I might as well just get into now. So this past episode of Dynamite, We don't cover Impact here on the show outside of being the Elite, but I need to cover some things here because of the importance, obviously, with the tie to Impact Wrestling this week. And in future weeks, by the way, if you're new to the Weekender, going forward, you know, if there's Impact Wrestling with AEW involvement or vice versa, I'm going to cover it here on the show because I feel like that's the right thing to do for y'all. And, you know, we're going to have Kenny Omega on Impact this upcoming Tuesday. So that's an AEW star, the AEW champion now, coming over to Impact Wrestling. So I'll absolutely be talking about this stuff here on the Weekender, y'all. So don't worry about that. I've had a couple of people ask me, like, oh man, like I know you talk, you know, all this other stuff, but like, are you going to talk AEW? I'm not going to cover the AEW shows, but I will be covering AEW involvement when it comes to Impact Wrestling. So if there is Impact Wrestling things that happen on Dynamite, I will probably talk about it here on this show, you know what I mean? So I'm going to try to keep you all updated the best that I possibly can and give my thoughts throughout this whole story, because basically, for those of you who might not know, you know, the big story coming out, there was a few big stories coming out of Dynamite this past week, one of them being Sting, which was trending on Twitter, like top trend in the world for like till 3 in the morning or something. I mean, it was wild how many people really, really cared to see Sting again, which I know I did. I totally marked out when he came out. But, you know, you never really know. He's 61 years old. What's the reception going to be? It's been overwhelmingly positive. Outside of Sting, probably the biggest thing to happen was Kenny Omega winning the championship from Jon Moxley, which was huge. And then even bigger, if that could even all be topped, it's announced that Kenny Omega is bringing the title to Impact Wrestling, and he'll be on this Tuesday. So there's definitely going to be an overlap between the companies, which is really, really, really awesome that they're doing this, especially if it branches out into more companies. Because I was saying, and those of you who listen to this show know this, and you can go back and find the clips of me saying these things. And people, by the way, I'll preface this, people can have their own personal opinions about some of the people I'm going to talk about here. But from a storyline and career perspective, this is where I'm coming with this stuff, and I think you'll understand right off the bat why I kind of prefaced it. So, Marty Scurll. It didn't make any sense to anybody when he signed with Ring of Honor, right? And I was saying, there's no way he signed with that company unless there's some sort of deal in place where he can work elsewhere, mainly AEW. There had to have been a reason. Same with Gallows and Anderson. I was like, you know, Impact Wrestling is awesome. I love Impact. I've been saying it all year. Impact Wrestling has been consistently better than WWE's Monday Night Raw this entire year. And when Gallows and Anderson signed with Impact, it was confusing because it was like, why the heck didn't they get signed by AEW? But then I started kind of saying, like, but I bet you there's got to be a reason. And I think that's what's happened with some people here and there, even in like New Japan and stuff. I think that Kota Ibushi's life goal is to be the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, first and foremost. But I think even with New Japan and the bad blood that they have had with some AEW, mainly, you know, the Young Bucks and how Kenny left, but obviously they have a working relationship. Jon Moxley is still the IWGP US Champion. And they still, like Jericho still does stuff with New Japan when, obviously this year is a little different with people not being able to travel, but they have had a working relationship to some degree. And part of that with Ibushi for me was like, if basically what I'm getting at here is if they can get to a point soon where we have Ibushi as the IWGP champion, we have Kenny Omega as the AEW champion, we have, I mean, there's a lot of different options in Impact. But let's say Rich Swann, who is a great champion, or Willie Mack gets up there, or Chris Bay winds up winning. There's a lot of good options in Impact that are all pretty much on the same level as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? And then you have, you know, Kenny Omega is also the AAA champion. No one even seems to remember that. And I think that the more and more that we see this kind of stuff, it's all like, because... Like, let's get into some kind of fantasy booking, right? If we have Impact versus AEW, you got to imagine one of the big matches is going to be the Young Bucks, who are the AEW Tag Team Champions, versus Gallows and Anderson, who are the Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions. It makes perfect sense. The story is there, and they're both champions of their companies. This is, like, WWE tries to mess with the fans every year and talk about how Survivor Series is the one time of the year that Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head, brand versus brand, for supremacy. And everyone's, like, rolling their eyes because it's like, this is so dumb. No one believes this. Nobody cares about brand supremacy. Blah, 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 right? This could be not even necessarily brand supremacy, but, like, it's... Who are the best wrestlers in the world? Let's find out. There's a guy on YouTube, True Slayer. Gotta give him a shout-out. He gave this whole kind of... a very similar kind of line of thinking to this. And... you can find him on YouTube. Just search Truth Slayer. He brought up some really good points. I've never seen the show Game of Thrones, but I know the Winter is Coming stuff is from that. And AEW has been heavily pushing that. And he talked about how, like, in the show, he kind of explained how the show worked. And basically how it was, like, all these different groups that eventually, like, clashed. And basically, in the wrestling world, it could be, you know, you have the best guys in New Japan, the best guys in Ring of Honor, the best guys in Impact, the best guys in AEW. And it isn't necessarily so much about you know, which brand is the best. It's finding out who is the best wrestler in the world, who is the best tag team in the world. And what's even crazier is, like, the WWE is not even involved. And I think this would create more buzz than anything WWE would be able to do. I really do. So you have all these possibilities. You have Motor City Machine Guns versus The Revival, potentially. They've been calling each other out on Twitter, and that is a total dream match. You have The North also in that same mix. The North versus FTR, I think, would be absolutely incredible. The North, I still think, is the best tag team in the world right now. You have the Kenny Omega versus, you know, Rich Swann, if Rich Swann is still the champion at that point. You have Jordan Grace. I mean, one of the first things I would do, I tweeted this out, one of the first things I would do, I would put the AEW Women's Championship on Jordan Grace. I think she could save the entire division. I've been saying that for months now, maybe years now at this point. AEW's been around for over a year. So over a year, I've been saying Jordan Grace would fit like a glove in the AEW Women's Division. And on top of that, she's a good intergender wrestler. Like, I don't advocate for intergender wrestling very often, but Jordan Grace wrestling men, it's actually good every time I've seen it. And that's like the highest praise I can give somebody. Like, it's something that I'm not really a fan of. Somebody is so good at that it makes me a fan of it. That's how good Jordan Grace is. I can say the same about Tessa Blanchard, but I don't know what's going on with her at the moment, where she's at, if she's going to be popping up anywhere. Everyone seems to be just totally kind of quiet on that right now. So, but I'd say the same about her. Impact Wrestling, I think pound for, I know Jordan Guerrera, Tessa Blanchard isn't with Impact anymore, but the point being, even without Tessa, the Impact Wrestling women's division is probably the best women's division for a single brand. If you don't count Raw, SmackDown, and NXT as one brand, and you count them all separately, I think Impact Wrestling has a better women's division than any of those individually does. And I also think AEW, of all the mentioned, including NXT UK, I think that AEW has the worst women's division of all of them. Now, if you include people like Thunder Rosa, who are technically with the NWA, who I haven't even mentioned yet, I completely forgot about them, hysterically enough, the National Wrestling Alliance, who I think is great, by the way, they just haven't been running shows. Thunder Rosa's great. Serena Deeb's great. Allison Kay's great. So there's a lot. I think Allison Kay might have technically just left, but you guys know the point. There's a lot of really, 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 really good matchups and possibilities for this whole AEW versus Impact feud. And I think it could potentially branch into other companies. Because, like I said, if we have Ibushi as a champion, and then over in Ring of Honor, right now we got Rush as the champion, and then we have the Pure Championship that just came back, where Jonathan Gresham, who in my opinion is one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, still underrated, as crazy as that is, he's the Ring of Honor Pure Champion. You'd have the options with him and so many others. I mean, that whole foundation and all that that's being started in Ring of Honor, I'm going to, you know, quickly review the show towards the end, but you got this group forming where, like, it looks like guys like, you know, Jonathan Gresham, Jay Lethal, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, Fred Yehi. I could totally see Lee Moriarty joining them. There's so many good people that can be a part of this group, and they can be kind of their own thing, you know, and they have so many options with this. So I'm very excited to see where this all heads, and let me know what your dream matches are right now with these companies. You can give me, you know, whether it's any of these companies I mentioned or specifically AEW versus Impact, because we know for sure, at the very least, that's what's going to be going on. Let me know in the comments here on Fightful Select, or let me know on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. So I'm looking forward to having some discussions, because really exciting times right now. Moving on, we got more results, starting off with 205 Live. Only had two matches this show, which is pretty normal at this point, but it was good for what it was. We had Ever-Rise defeating the Bollywood Boys in the opening match. The finish came when Sunil Singh hit the French Connection for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a really good match. Curt Stallion defeating Arya Daivari. Got the win with, I don't know what they're going to call it, and I didn't catch it when I watched the show, but it's basically a dive. It's like a, how do you even say it? He runs full force, like he's going to do like a running shoulder block, but it's supposed to be more of like a headbutt slash shoulder kind of deal. On the indies, he called it the Ode to Luigi, and that's because of Luigi, I believe, like through Super Smash Brothers. I think that's one of his moves. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, but I know he called it that on the indies for sure. It's a devastating looking move, and he nailed it on Daivari. Before the match, we had, you know, a recap between Stallion and the LDF and all that stuff, Legado del Fantasma. And I really like the story. I love that they're kind of putting the whole 205 Live brand on Curt Stallion's back right now. I don't know if he's going to be the one to defeat Escobar for the title, but I'd totally be okay with it. I'm a big fan of Curt Stallion's. I talk about it all the time. He's the first ever Southern Underground Pro Bone Storm champion out of Nashville, Tennessee. My favorite independent wrestling company in the world. And, you know, I've been watching him live for years. So to see him get this opportunity at all is cool, but to see them really pushing him has been even better. And I think this can lead to more, even better things because, you know, 205 Live, it's been kind of stagnant for a long time now. And there's a lot of people who recently signed with the company and now it's public. And now I can finally talk about this stuff. I've known for probably 3 months at this point that Alex Zane, Zachary Wentz, and not Trey Miguel, he didn't get signed, or something happened there. I'm not sure what the deal is with there, but Desmond Xavier. So Desmond Xavier, Zachary Wentz, and Alex Zane all signed with WWE. They are in the Performance Center. Looks like they're going to be all heading to NXT, but I also could see them definitely heading to 205 Live. You know, I think that they're going to really stack this roster, and I think Curt Stallion is someone who can really be the face of it, and if not the face of it, one of the major players there. So between the signings and stuff, 205 Live, I think, is going to get a lot more buzz soon. I really do. And Curt Stallion has been doing a great job. So that's going to do it for 205 Live. Moving on, we got NXT UK results. Show started off with Rampage Brown defeating Saxton Huxley. Got the win with a gut-wrench sit-up powerbomb for the 1-2-3. After that, Valkyrie defeated Aaliyah James. Got the win with a diving axe kick. We had Joe Coffey defeating Alexander Wolf next. Solid match here. Finish came with the Glasgow send-off into the All the Best for the Bells. That's always such a tongue twister for me for some reason, the All the Best for the Bells. But Joe Coffey with another win. To Coffey's credit, the guy perennially stays in like the upper card, like always, no matter what he's doing. I think that's really admirable, to be honest, because he's a guy that I think he's good. I don't think he's like incredible though. And a lot of the time, the reason I say incredible is because a lot of the time when I think of like NXT UK main events, like the big main event matches and stuff, usually it involves, you know, Walter, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Ilya Dragunov. You know, there's been a lot of, even like Jordan Devlin has been just incredibly solid. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And Joe Coffey, he's had a shot at the title before when Pete Dunne had the championship. I wasn't that impressed, to be honest. But he's, I guess the point I'm trying to make is Joe Coffey, clearly he's better than I must recognize. And he always does, you know, he always does really well. It's just one of those things. I don't really know how to put my finger on it. He's missing something that puts him over the top for me as like a, you know, a full-fledged main eventer. But he has found a way to, you know, it's not something I'm against. You know what I mean? It's like I see the talent there, but I feel like there's more talented people that haven't gotten those opportunities, I guess at the end of the day. But that's just my personal opinion, and there's nothing against Joe Coffey. I just feel like there's just a little something missing there for me. And in the main event, we had The Hunt defeating South Wales Subculture. The finish came with a fireman's carry into a sit-out powerbomb for the pin. This is a good match. You know, everyone in this match is good. Personally, I like South Wales Subculture better, just my personal opinion. You know, I think that Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews are really, really good together. I think they're a great tag team. And I'd like to see more from them. If there's not more for them to do in NXT UK, I'd like to see them in either NXT or I would say Raw or SmackDown. But to be honest, at this point, I probably wouldn't see them very often if they were on Raw or SmackDown. I'd be more likely to see them in NXT. Or I'd be even more likely to see him in 205 Live right now, to be completely honest. And by the way, NXT TakeOver War Games is tonight. I can do some quick predictions for that before we get out of here, too. Let me pull that card up before I forget. By the way, I think NXT is a really great show. I've just been paying attention to AEW more often on Wednesdays, but I always get excited for the TakeOver shows. They are can't miss, in my opinion. If you claim to be a wrestling fan and you're not watching NXT TakeOver shows, I don't know what to tell you, but that's it for NXT UK this week. Solid show, but nothing great. I'll just put it that way. Up next, we have results for MLW Fusion. I mentioned Jacob Fatu a little bit earlier, the champion of the company. Let's see what happened this week. So the opening match, we had ACH defeating Laredo Kid to advance to the second round of the Opera Cup tournament. Finish came with a brain buster from ACH for the 1-2-3. Good stuff. Good to see ACH kind of all over the place right now. Had a really good match with Lee Moriarty over the collective weekend. Up next, we had Mads Kruger defeating Ariel Dominguez. This was a just complete squash. Choke breaker into a face buster. 1-2-3, that was it. And in the main event, Loki defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr. This was a really good match. And this was also a first-round tournament match. Yeah, so Loki, I'll say this. I've been critical in the past of Loki. His in-ring talent is undeniable. You know, I think he consistently for his whole career has had a really entertaining matches. There's been certain things that I've seen throughout the years, whether live or, you know, on DVD or whatever, where I felt like he was kind of taking liberties with some of his opponents. And I've said things about that. And, you know, it's one of these things where I don't think it's happened in a long time, and I'm willing to move past it at this point. He's having really, really good matches still. And it seems like, let me put it this way. There was a time where I watched him live, and like he kicked the living hell out of this guy that I know wasn't asking for it, and I know wasn't prepared for it, and I know was not defending himself. And I've also heard stories backstage from people, and I'm not gonna like get into stuff, but I've heard some pretty what I consider to be hilarious stories about Loki backstage, where like he just takes things way too seriously. From what I've heard, you know, but all that being said, his match with Davey Boy Smith Jr. was great, and I really want to see him featured often on MLW TV. He totally deserves it as long as he's being safe with his opponents. The only reason I even bring that kind of stuff up is because that's what pro wrestling is based around, right? Is like you're supposed to be protecting yourself and your opponent. If you're in there trying to fight people and trying to hurt people, then I'd like to see you do that against people who are also trying to protect themselves and also trying to hurt you. Like, it's not impressive to me to watch somebody beat up someone who doesn't know what they're doing. But if both people know what they're doing, that's a completely different thing. You know what I'm saying? So, that being said, Loki got the win. Really, really good match. And I'd like to see Loki continue to get pushed in MLW. Like I said, I've moved past that stuff, but the reason that I just want to put all that out there, just kind of going forward, because I'm sure there's a lot of you who have heard me say kind of negative things in the past about Loki for those same reasons that are now hearing me praise him once again. It's because I'm willing to move past it. You know what I mean? If there's another, if there's more instances of it in the future, you know, I'm free to change my mind going forward, but this was a really good performance, and the finish was really cool too. Loki had British Bulldog in a dragon sleeper on the top rope, and Davey countered it. Looked like he was going to be going for a running power slam, you know, with kind of how it was positioned, and then Loki rolled through it to get the win for the 1-2-3. So really good stuff. Really good episode of MLW Fusion. It's been they haven't missed yet, in my opinion, since they've come back. And they have such a talent-stacked roster right now. I mean, like, Calvin Tankman hasn't even, like, begun to show what he can do in MLW, and I think he's going to be a huge deal. He was featured last week. Jacob Fatu, one of the best workers in the entire world, in my opinion. He wasn't even wrestling this week. I mean, and this was still a damn good show, and that's really good. Really good stuff going on right now for Major League Wrestling. Moving on, Ring of Honor results. Starting off with a pure rules match, Josh Woods getting the win over Jay Lethal. This was surprising to me. I'm really surprised to see Josh Woods get that win. Jay Lethal, in my estimation, is still one of the best in the world. And, you know, I think that, I know that himself and Jonathan Gresham are still the tag team champions, but I feel like something's going to have to give there. I don't know. I'm interested to see where this all heads, but I like Josh Woods. I think he has a lot of potential still. Also already very, very good, but somebody that I'd like to see a little bit more from, but he's been very impressive up to this point. And we had a promo. Basically, they're building up Jay Briscoe versus EC3, and Mark Briscoe wants to go after the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships again. We had a trending with Matt Taven, what do you call it? It's like a talk show, and Mike Bennett was on it. It looks like we're going to be getting Mike Bennett versus Vincent soon. After that, we had Shane Taylor, Brody King defeating Shane Taylor. After they both cut promos before the match, but Brody King won the match. Really good stuff. I'm a big fan of both guys. I'd like to see Shane Taylor push more and use more. I think the Ring of Honor kind of stumbled into something really good with him. I think he's completely overperformed past what anyone could have expected, and he continues to do that. And Brody King, very, very good. You know what I mean? Like, once again, I'm not going to be upset about Brody King winning this match at all. But, okay, this has happened. What's next for Shane Taylor? You got to have a plan for that guy. Up next, results for UWN Primetime Live, which, of course, features National Wrestling Alliance talent on most week. And that's why we cover it here, because NWA has not really been running shows. They did just start running, which I'll start covering next week. They did just start running some stuff on their YouTube channel, but this week being so stacked, couldn't get to it. Next week, though, I'll start covering more National Wrestling Alliance, so hold me to that, y'all. I don't want to forget about that. I know that they're finally getting back into the swing of things. But as far as UWN is concerned, we had Fred Rosser defeating Richie Slade, Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Slice Boogie, Kevin Martinson defeated Dan Joseph, UWN Hollywood Heritage Championship on the line. Jordan Clearwater defeated Jordan Cruz, and that was Jordan Clearwater retaining the championship. And in the main event for the UWN Hollywood TV Championship, Anthony Idol defeated Levi Shapiro by disqualification, DQ, no title change. So kind of an uneventful episode of UWN Primetime Live. I don't know how much access they're going to have to NWA talent kind of going forward, since, like I mentioned, NWA is gearing up to, like, you know, really make their comeback right now. So, but, you know, was a good show, too. I mean, good talent was what it was, but I will say I was a bit more impressed with some of the episodes leading up to this, and I do want to see more of the heavyweight title tournament. I want to see more of Chris Dickinson, especially. All right, moving on. Oh, Being the Elite recap, that's right. We got this recap, and then I'll give you some quick War Games predictions, and we'll get on out of here. So Being the Elite this week started off with Private Party. They're trying to get payback on Santana and Ortiz for beating them. So basically, you know, I kind of roll my eyes as I say all this, because this is like the overacting and stuff I really don't like about the show. And it's three of these four people are, like, incredibly annoying to me on Being the Elite, so I wasn't a big fan of this at all. We had Private Party, who I think have just consistently dropped the ball on Being the Elite. I'm just going to be honest. In the ring on AEW, no problem at all with them. I think they're great. I love them as a tag team. But all the stuff they've done on Being the Elite up to this point has just fallen flat for me. Just been annoying, to be honest. And Ortiz. Like, I love Santana, but Ortiz, just the overacting is just draining for me at this point. And anyways, what happens here is Private Party tricks Ortiz into eating one of those one chip challenge chips that are, like, really, really hot. Ortiz tries to no sell it. The second that Private Party walks away, he runs screaming to the bathroom. I mean, you could literally see all this coming from a mile away. After that, we had Brandon Cutler walking around. He's, like, knocking on a camera, trying to feel how hard the camera is. Frank Kazarian starts calling him a mark and explains to him what a hard cam is. This has been going on week after week. Marco Stunt asks Frankie Kazarian if he signed up for his anger management classes yet, and Frankie Kazarian chases him off. Once again, this is all falling flat, my personal opinion. We get a lot of clips of AEW Dynamite that are shown after that. I mean, that's all good stuff. But of course, if you watch Dynamite, you've already seen that. So getting a little more interesting now, we have Matt and Nick Jackson. They're like shooting a basketball, a little basketball trash can thing in the back. And Matt Hardy comes up and like grabs the shot midair and just starts talking about all the big moments he's had in wrestling. And he's talking about having the ball and then like Steve Austin taking the ball and going home in the WWE. And talking about his Hardy Boys tag team and talking about how, I mean, basically he's just bragging on and on and on. And this is just more character development in this new character of Matt Hardy. So we'll see where that all heads. But they've done a really good job lately of making Matt Hardy really annoying. And by the way, Matt Hardy did eliminate at least one of the two members of Private Party, if not both of them, in the Dynamite Ring Battle Royal on Dynamite. So I'm interested to see where that all winds up heading. After that, and something else that's been falling flat and that I do not care about, Kip Sabian is looking for Leva Bates. He wants a video game rematch. And, yeah. Basically, they're setting up another match between the two of them next week in more video games. I'm just going to be honest. I just could not care less about the Kip Sabian-Miro stuff. I just couldn't. And Leva Bates with the librarian and all that, it's just, I'm just not huge into it at the moment. I'm glad that most of this stuff is being relegated to being the elite in AEW Dark, to be completely honest. So that's just me. On a complete flip side, and stuff that I really love about the show, up next we had Dark Order. They're in their lair, their hangout, whatever you want to call it. Anna Jay's, you know, bummed out that she lost her title match. Colt Cabana showing off his new face now that it's not all, you know, mangled and bandaged up. Of course, John Silver is still bummed out that he's been losing all his big matches. And basically, it looks like Anna and John Silver are finally going to hug. And Silver totally just face palms Anna out of the way and then gives Ten a big hug again. And Anna basically falls into Stu Grayson and gives him a hug, then calls him a little bitch, which is, it's interesting because Stu Grayson is probably the best overall wrestler in the Dark Order. And I don't know exactly what they're trying to accomplish with this character. It's funny, but it is strange because I feel like Stu Grayson could be the one to, like, you know, be the one to take over the Dark Order at some point, or, you know, have a big match with Brody Lee, or you know, leave the company or something. I don't, or not leave the company, but leave the Dark Order. And do his own thing. It's weird that they've made him such like a simp to Anna Jay. You know, it's interesting to say the least. Even more interesting, we see Hangman Page right outside of the ring, right outside of the room, and he's drinking his drink in the hallway, and almost trips over a chair as he walks away, which is pretty funny. After that, Jurassic Express is talking with Super Panda, and Anna Jay and Tay Conti walk up. They basically like talk about how they're not into dinosaurs but they are into pandas, and you know, basically they wind up leaving with Super Panda. Marco Stunt's all butthurt over it. More stuff that I just, it's not really that into. I mean, usually being the elite is you know, a very enjoyable show for me. Usually they're hitting on all cylinders, and you know, from top to bottom, I usually enjoy pretty much all of it. This week, that really wasn't the case. And then the Being the Elite title was on the line. We had John Silver versus Trent in a mustard packet throwing challenge. They basically had a ton of mustard packets, and they're trying to toss them across the room into like this little dish. And I don't know how long it took real time, probably hours. Eventually, Nick Jackson offers them $1,000 if they finally make one. And then Silver makes it. So hilariously enough, after hundreds of tries, he hits it when $1,000 is on the line. So John Silver retains the title and gets $1,000. So, you know, usually at this point I say great episode of Being the Elite. To be honest, pretty weak episode of Being the Elite. Just got to be objective and give my honest thoughts there. All right, moving on. Last but not least, some quick NXT predictions for y'all. NXT, not a show that I cover here, but because the show's tonight and it's going to be starting soon, I at least want my thoughts on the record. If you want like a detailed breakdown of this stuff, I did a full prediction with Jessie Davin on her YouTube channel earlier this week. Check that out. That's Jessie Davin. We did predictions for AEW and NXT, so you can see how I did on both. But as far as the show goes, I'm going to go with Tommaso Ciampa over Timothy Thatcher, Cameron Grimes over Dexter Lumis in a strap match. I'm going to say Leon Ruff retains the North American title. I'd say he pins Gargano again, but I think it's going to be because of something Priest does to Gargano, and Leon Ruff's going to basically fall on Gargano for the win. It'll be some sort of fluke kind of thing, a justification for it being a triple threat match. Because I think if this was one-on-one, I don't think Leon Ruff retains against either. In the women's War Games match, we have Team Shotzi versus Team Candice. Team Shotzi is Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, Rhea Ripley, and Io Shirai. Team Candice is Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm. I'm going to say that team... I can't remember who I picked on the podcast with Jesse. Last year, Rhea Ripley pretty much won the whole War Games match on her own. So, like, by that logic, you would think, you know, that Team Shotzi would have the advantage. They also have Io Shirai, the women's champion. I feel like I've got to go with Team Shotzi now. I think I picked Team Candice initially, but I'm going to go with Team Shotzi. And then in the War Games match, we have the Undisputed Era, the team of Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Bobby Fish taking on the team of Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan. This match is going to be absolutely incredible. I love everybody involved in this. I'm going to say Undisputed Era gets the win, unless Adam Cole turns on Kyle O'Reilly and the rest of the group. Or maybe, you know, what, maybe O'Reilly turns or something. But I think that for Undisputed Era to lose this match, one of the members has to turn on their own team. And I don't necessarily see that happening here. So I'm going to go with Undisputed Era, but... really looking forward to, you know, this is a big stage for Lorcan and Burch, two guys who have worked their asses off for what seems like forever. And they have a big, big, you know, moment to potentially shine here. Pete Dunne has been incredible since the second he walked into WWE. And his run with the UK title was just absolutely incredible. But he's been a little stagnant lately. And of course, you know, there's the stuff with, you know, travel in the UK and whatnot. But now that he's with NXT, he has new life with this group with Pat McAfee, and I feel like a lot of the reason that all these guys were teamed together was specifically for this War Games match, and Pat McAfee continues to over-deliver. I mean, incredible on the microphone. He was incredible in the ring the first time we saw him. I have no reason to believe that he isn't prepared this time. I think that I think it's going to be an incredible match, and this should be a great show. Every single NXT TakeOver show just winds up being, you know, some of the best matches and shows of the whole year. So check it out. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I'm Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.